Yeah.
Hey, we've got a guest, Scott.
Yes, we have.
Well, you've got a guest. We've all got a guest. Has he been on your show before?
No, never.
Oh, this is a treat.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching on the red button, you'll see him live. So let's walk in the one and only Mr. Paul O'Grady.
Hello,
how
are you? Right, good to see you.
Well done on that documentary. It was fabulous.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Paul.
How are you doing?
I am great.
I brought medication to keep you.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Paul. How are you? Nice to meet you.
Come and take a seat. Yeah, come and sit down. I'm standing.
Are you going to stand for 50
hours? He always stands.
I like to stand. That's Paul O'Grady, ladies and gentlemen. Look at him. Look, he looks like... In that coat, looks like someone from the Gestapo.
You're the fourth person today who's said that to me. This morning I had to do this. It's 50 years of the Avengers, so yeah. I did the Avengers launch, and I was dressed up as Steed.
Oh, nice.
No, I went home and got changed. I was getting funny looks. Me and a bowler hat. I can't tell you what I look like.
Well, just a bowler hat is one of my fantasies.
That's all I had on. Bowler hat and suspenders.
Welcome to Radio 1, Paul O'Grady.
Thank you. Yes, I've never been here before.
We've always wanted to get you on the show, but obviously we're normally on too early, so...
You won't want me in the morning. Yeah, it'd be like having a rattlesnake in the studio. I'd make him look like Snow White because I'd kick off. I'd kick off big style.
What time do you get up, Paul, normally?
I don't do mornings, Scott, now.
So
no, I decided to avoid them. You know, and I get off at these sitcoms and the first thing I say is, what time do we start? And they go, about 5. I said, stick it. I'm sorry. I didn't go into showbiz to get up at 5 o'clock. I'm a nightclub act, an old club act. An old habits die hard. I start work at 2 in the morning.
Oh, I love that. So if we're going to write a sitcom, me and Scott, and we want you to star in it.
We have to film.
Call time, 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Finish by 7.
Fabulous.
There you go.
Well, let's do that.
7 the following morning, I could do. I can go all night. If you pardon me, no, but you know, no, I can, but I can't go all day. But I'm good of a night. tell me, when do you finish this?
Well,
okay, who knows?
Ideally, if we're going to 37 hours is Radio 1's longest show.
That was Simon Mayo, wasn't it?
Correct. Yeah, and then the Guinness World Record people have said that there's a team radio show, which is 50 hours. So if we go anything over 50 hours, then we break that Guinness World Record.
You're not going to sit down?
I am going to sit down
to,
at some
Chris.
Point.
You'll be going, aren't you worried at like 4 in the morning you might let something slip with exhaustion?
Do you know what? I think it might even be before then. I think it could be at some point tonight when we've just been sat in this box all day.
Well, you'll forget you're on the radio.
And also, I'm
Can we not do it on my show? Thanks.
What? Okay, but really? Oh, I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
How you feeling? Oh, I know what I'd say. Yeah. You'd ask me how you feeling now and I'd come out with it. I'd forget.
Some people may not know, but the character... Lily Savage.
Yeah.
God bless her.
Oh, she's still going.
The similarities between Paul and Lily.
There's no similarities.
Oh, please. The mouth on you when this you were doing blankety blank last week with David Walliams. Oh. The mouth on you.
I tell you what, it was like they'd resurrected a war crime. And I was doing it and I was saying to myself, actually, this used to be primetime telly. Times
you know what?
Have changed.
Let me just tell you, this is for David Walliams' 24-hour panel, people. You didn't see it, did you, Scott?
I saw some of it, yeah. Right.
But
you did blankety blank.
Yeah.
Blankety blank. Paul O'Grady hosted it. It was so apparent watching it that you didn't want to be there.
That you
hate the show.
Hate the show.
Yeah. And let me tell you.
Hate it.
He was moaning that he'd done 80 shows and he still couldn't remember the rules. He didn't care. He said, if anybody from the BBC is thinking, going, this is a good idea, let's bring it back. Don't. I'm not interested.
But you said it was one of the funniest things.
You were on fire.
I got there and I said, can we have a little rehearsal now? They said, but you know, I said, don't. I said, I didn't know the rules then. They used to hold idiot boards up.
Yeah.
And they said, well, why didn't you? I said, because I hate games. I hate game shows. I go to somebody's house, they bring Monopoly out, so I want to strangle them. And Trivial, all that rubbish. Yeah. I don't mind a good card game for money.
Let me tell you, you were amazing.
I thought I was shocked.
I sat and watched in awe and laughed for an hour, however long it was. You were amazing.
Why do you hate it so much?
Because I like do it. When I first did it, I enjoyed the first two series.
Right. Did you do them all as Lily?
All as Lily,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
So I'm in all that gear. Imagine it, two shows a day. They used to film two shows a day. And you're up and downstairs. And I used to say, as the old working girl said, it's not the work that's killing me, it's the stairs.
That's right.
Because I'll be up and down these stairs and fill in the blanks. And some of the contestants took about thick. I used to want to get them by the back of the head and bang their head on the desk and say, it's staring you in the face, you moron. And they'd say, you take your time. I've got a corset on here. My kidney's moved. It's now behind my shoulder. My left leg is swollen to twice its size and I can't feel me fuss. This eye's closing with eyelash glue. You just sit there and deliberate. You take your time. You don't realise what danger you're in here. You know what I mean? It's like they had an anaconda behind them ready to snap.
Do you know what? I would have you back doing that tomorrow. Yeah. It was the funniest show.
No, honestly, I'm hopeless with game shows. Hopeless.
But I loved watching it. I loved watching you go, right, now, watch an answer now. What? What are you saying? We don't do the answer. What, he hasn't given me... I don't know how you do it!
I didn't. I don't know.
You're getting more and more angry. I reckon, Scott, Paul has a very short fuse.
I do. Mm. I'm actually not as bad now.
Really?
No. I used to go, I was a bit Cruella de Vil, I go up like a rocket and come down, but no hard feelings, you know what I mean? I could never hold a grudge, and I'd always, if I was out of order, I'd always apologise, but now, since the artist and they put me on beta blockers, I go, I'm like a Roman candle and somebody's lit it, but it goes, fizzles out, yeah. And well, what was all that about?
How is your health? How are you?
Fabulous. Yeah, I've been going to gym, would you believe?
No way.
I don't go to a public gym.
Right, sure.
I ain't going in here, I'm muscle made, he's pumped up a steroids are glaring at me like
Hello.
Olive oil. None of that. So I've got a little set, a few bits and pieces at home.
Nice.
And I, like, you know, stand there.
Do you have a trainer?
Dude, I'm having none of that. I'm not having some nerve. For the Incredible Hulk coming at 7 o'clock in the morning saying, just give me another 10 of them. Well, I'm saying.
I can't imagine you responding well to a personal trainer.
I wouldn't, no. I'm not amenable to discipline. Yeah.
Really not. That's not what I've heard.
Yeah. That's another story.
And so what do? You do weights and stuff like that?
I do weights, and wow. I've got one of these power plates.
Oh, really?
Which is fabulous. Well,
those are vibrating things.
Well, when I first got on it, it took off. I was like a Dalek.
Yeah.
And because I hadn't bent my knees, every filling in my head was rattling. Yeah. And my glasses were doing this on my head. And
also and makes then your nose itch.
Yes, it does. You're right. And then I went on a thing on the internet to see what the exercises were.
Right.
And the brilliance. They're
really?
Yeah. I couldn't recommend them anymore.
I used to go to a gym and the changing rooms were downstairs and you knew if somebody was on the power play upstairs.
Because of the noise.
It would shake. Yeah. And they would go, you should go on that. I'm like, and I'm looking at the lockers going...
It's actually a weird feeling.
You just take all my ornaments down.
Yeah,
because you get on it, you know, they'd be... Honestly.
How do they work? Do you just stand on it? Or do you have to do...
No, you stand on it and you bend your... You can do press-ups on it and all sorts. And you can do your calf muscles, your thigh, your glutes, as they say in the business.
Hello, Paul!
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've got one of these belts that you put around your waist because I ain't doing sit-ups and it's electric. So I'll be on the phone and
I'll go... Because the pulses.
Yeah. And I'm on the phone and I'm saying, yeah, I'm just... I'm just having me... And they go, what, you're on the toilet? No, I've got me. I've got 50,000 volts running through him. I mean, I can hear you. But they're good as well. I recommend them too. I don't see why you should have to kill yourself in gyms. I don't believe in it.
No, not at all. I love it. I absolutely love it. I could just see you with one of them belts on. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm going, you. And I ring Stella up and she's got one and we're both on the belts.
No way.
And we go, you do.
It's just even time it so that you're both in pain at the same time.
We're slightly out of sync. But it is a bit like torturous and you get a tingling on your side, on your love handles.
Yeah. I'll tell you, there'll be hell of a tingle on my love handles. All right, well, look, are you going to hang around for a bit?
I will do if you like, yeah.
Paul O'Grady is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
With me and Damon Scott Mills. Who's this, Scott?
It's Eliza Doolittle.
Eliza Doolittle and Pack Up on Radio 1. Oh, Paul's just telling us happy stories in the studio. He's cheering us all up.
Funny stories about pets and animals.
And I'll tell you someone else I don't like. Oh, we should do that later.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. People you don't like.
The thing with Paul is...
Oh, you're joking. I'll be here for 5 hours.
I reckon there's very little filter there.
Do you know who I'm completely on?
Oh, no, save it.
Stewie from Family Guy. That's my child, Stewie.
Cool. All right, well, listen, more from Paul O'Grady. Thank you for coming in, Paul. First time ever at Radio 1 for Paul O'Grady. And the last time he'll ever be on a show with us, because he never gets up in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't do mornings!
I'll do it, you know, I will.
But sure.
But you'll hate us forever.
I go home and stick pins in dolls.
We've got a message from Paul. Somebody went up to him and said, do you have a message from Chris Moores? It was pretty much, I would come on, but it's too early. I can't get up. And even when he'd finished, they kept recording, he walked, honestly, I can't. I am not a morning person.
I panic.
He just walks away.
I panic. If somebody mentions early mornings, I go, no. What time? You know, like a flight. What time's the flight? 5:15. Oh, I'm not going.
All right, well, more from Paul in a bit. And keep your text coming in if you want to text us and give us some money for comedy relief. First of all, the headlines with Tulip.
More from us at 5:45.
Thank you, Tulip.
This is BBC Radio 1's longest show ever. With Chris Moyles and Comedy Dave and Scott Mills for comic relief.
Hi.
Hi.
Hour 11. Right, there you go, Tiny Temper and Wonder Man. Not Wonderland.
Wonder Man. Mm.
And that was...
Alex Gardino,
of course.
Of course it was.
You knew that, Paul.
I knew his mother. She had a chippy in Lowther Street.
I heard that.
Wonderful woman, you know. She'll tell you what, she did mushy peas at a curly day.
Didn't you go to that chip shop once?
What, that one?
Yeah.
No.
You're not going to do any jokes? You're not going to do the chip shop jokes? Oh, do your chip shop jokes.
I can't remember the chip shop joke.
Did you walk in and say, have you got any chips left? And she said, yes. And he said, well, you shouldn't have made so many then. Is that... What? Hey,
you should have said, do you want a battered sausage?
No, don't do that one.
This is BBC Radio 1's longest show ever.
Hiya.
With Chris Moyles.
Hello.
And Comedy Dave.
Hello.
And Scott Mills for Comic Relief.
Hello.
Hour 11.
All right, 10 hours, 39 minutes into the show. Paul O'Grady is here. Paul, we're going to ask people to text in and give us some money. Would you help?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah? Yeah. Please text in and give money, because I have your address.
Right. You can't
be a threat of violence.
And a posh. And I've got four fellas from Birkenhead outside in a limo, so cough up.
Well, he says a limo.
Gets it.
Yeah. We'd like you to text the word Chris to 70011. The word Chris... means it goes into our kitty for this long show. Just write the word Chris. That's all you got to do. Send it to 70011. Even Paul could do it.
Yeah.
70011.
Thank you, Paul.
Text Chris. 70011.
It'll cost £1 plus your standard network message charge, and that whole pound will go to Comet Relief, and trust me, they will spend it wisely. You've got to be over 16, ask the bill payer's permission, full terms and conditions, and to donate online, go to bbc.co.uk/radio1. It's all there on the screen if you're watching on the red button or on the website. Or if you're listening on the radio, now I've told you. Text the word Chris to 70011 and Paul O'Grady has asked you to do so.
No, please. Yeah, go on. It's only a couple of... Go on, put your hand in your pockets.
I love that.
Just a pound.
Mm. Yeah, just
a
quid.
Pound.
Thank you very much. Long way.
Well, times are hard and friends are few at the moment, aren't they? You know, and getting people to... I'm always embarrassed saying, come on, cough up, because people haven't got a lot of money, have they?
I know. If you can give us a pound, then please do.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going out tonight, Wednesday night, if you had enough of the week already and you're going to have a few pints...
That sounds nice, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'm in the mood, you know.
Yeah, so am I.
Let's do it.
And I'm in the West End.
How,
it's dangerous.
What
are you doing tonight? Do you have plans tonight?
No. I'm free and easy.
I've heard you're one or the other. You're not free.
The thing is, Chris, all the decent places I used to go to, they've all closed. No. I remember when I was waiting in the clubs, there were all these fabulous little clubs that you went to after. Still Jerry's in Dean Street, which is wonderful.
Right.
It's got a very late licence. Right. I mean, I used to take dark glasses out knowing that it'd be daylight when I surfaced. Seriously. So I'd be going around in the morning, you know, the glasses on, trying to get a cab. And I'd rehearse it so it didn't come out, so, you know,
I
bad if you, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to go, Southland. In the end, I'd just show them the tag around my neck, and they'd take me home.
I was saying to Paul, just during the last couple of songs, I'd love to go drinking.
Wouldn't it be fun?
And even Scott said he'll come out of drinking retirement.
I would love it.
Well, why don't we then go out?
Oh,
we should have done that for Comic Relief, for Drinkathon.
Oh, my God!
Because wasn't Gino De Campo the
We'll save Africa single-handedly.
For your talent, mate. And I've got a couple of friends to save a few more continents as well, if we brought them with us. Sorry,
Gino, that's right. Gino was talking about Wine Aid this morning, wasn't he?
Wine Relief,
that was it. So we should hook up with him.
I'll do Cider Relief.
who do you know that we would know that is a good, likes a good drink with you? Babs, does Babs drink much?
No, Barbara Windsor doesn't touch us off. Scylla likes a bevy.
Oh,
yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
Well, I have an image of Scylla. I've met her a few times. I don't know her well at all, but she's, every time I met, she's been lovely.
Oh, she is. She's sweet ass.
I would imagine after a few drinks, she turns into a real-life Lily Savage.
No, she doesn't. She's funny. Silla, though.
And I'll tell you someone else!
No, not far from
really?
It.
Really?
You'd never know Silla'd ever had a drink.
Oh.
Never in a million years.
The opposite of you, then, Scott.
Yeah,
indeed.
No. Apart from when we find ourselves on a bus in Victoria Street, because we can't get a cab.
I did a TV show with her once, and there was champagne on ice all the way
That's
through
it. Yeah, yeah. Silla. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't like bubbly. That's the thing.
She does.
Yeah, she does.
Does it make you a bit windy?
It gives me indigestion, yeah.
Yeah, me yeah. too.
And all of a sudden, if I've been drinking it, I go, I've got to go and sit down.
It doesn't do anything for me, actually, either.
No. Or wine. I don't like wine.
Do you not?
No. Quite sort of...
Easy. What do you drink, Paul?
A cider.
Cider!
And whiskey.
Oh, my God.
Not together.
Can I tell you what? Going out with drinking with Paul's like going out drinking with a 15-year-old from Leeds at the bar.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Chris, I've got a bottle of cider.
Got a bottle of warm cider here, Chris. Come down to our house and sit in the bedroom, listen to me records.
Oh, I tell you, it'd be a
we
dream
used to
come
do
true.
That, and then we'd eat cheese butties to take the smell off our breath, and my mother wouldn't notice as we crept down the stairs. You've been on the cider.
Do you remember that time when we went drinking with Richard Bacon? We told this story a few times, and Richard Bacon, his girlfriend at the time, didn't like him drinking.
Yeah.
So he'd come out drinking with us, he'd have a few, and then we'd be like, Richard, you're a bit jarred. What are you going to... She's going to know you're drinking. It's all right. I'm going to tell her I had, like, a liqueur dessert, and that's an alcohol in it. You get like that? You're falling all over the place.
He used to eat Polo mints on the way home so that she wouldn't smell it on his breath, yet he couldn't walk in a straight line.
I had the tiramisu.
Yeah. How many pints of Polos did you have, you idiot?
He's doing a slalom down the pavement, but he's got very minty breath.
He's ricocheting down the road. Yeah. Just
bouncing off walls.
Touching the gatepost from both sides of the street as he goes down. Well, what have you got coming up? What's new?
I'm back on telly in April.
On the ITV show?
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
Do you enjoy that?
I do, yeah.
It's a great show.
It's once a week.
Yeah.
So, after like the 5 a week, it's a bit of a show. I don't feel I've done anything, you know, because I'm so used to doing the 5.
Yeah.
That you do the one and you go, well, go on then, we'll be doing another one now. Mm. No, that's it for the week.
I genuinely think that you have no idea how good you are on television.
Oh,
I'm telling you. I did the first time I ever went on Paul O'Grady's show, the Channel 4 show, and... He's got no talk back in his ear. There's no one telling him anything.
None of that.
And they go,
right.
You've
got Bert, haven't you?
Yeah. Bert, God love him. And we're doing the show and the adverts are on or whatever. And he goes, he leans over, he's talking to me. What are you doing? You're going on holiday. Nice, I'm going there. And they're like that. In 5 seconds, four, he goes, although I don't like, the service at that hotel is a bit too... I said to him, are you charging me that for the drink? You can shove it right up here. Welcome back, folks. Welcome. And it's your timing. And I'm like, oh my God, we're on.
We're on, yeah.
And you do it so effortlessly.
I never had an earpiece once. I did this morning for them one morning. And they said, no, you must wear an earpiece. You must wear an earpiece. And I was talking to somebody, you hear this voice in your ear go, ask them about so-and-so. And I'd say, okay.
Yeah, it's really strange.
I felt like Doris Stokes. Your voice is in my ear. I couldn't handle it. And I said, I cannot bear this. I'm sorry. Forget it. Well, and also, they sort of rein you in, I think, when they do that.
Oh, I imagine they rein you in.
Did they try?
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you for coming in to see us.
It's a pleasure. And listen, good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I might pop in about 3 a.m.
Listen, well, we're here.
Do you know what the Benji B show? Seriously, any time in the next, day and a half or
something. Well, I'll roll up with a couple of kebabs.
Yeah, pop in.
A case and some very dicey company.
Hey, Scott, shall I ask while I'm here?
Go on.
I want to ask for Paul's number. I don't have his number. Do you think if I asked...
It's in a lot of phone boxes in the West End.
Oh, no, stop.
It is.
I don't know. Well, you've kind of put it out there now, haven't you? So you might as well go for it.
Now it puts him in the position of going, you can have my number. And if he doesn't want it, he'll just stay quiet.
And the thing is, there are cameras on, so if he doesn't give you a
number... He's staying quiet.
Yeah. I can write it down for you.
Well, hang on.
No, don't
be careful, because his cameras might get it.
Don't stop him! This is my ticket to oblivious drinking, this!
I know, but he's going to do a Paddy Keelty on the one show. And
did he give his mobile number?
No, he gave away Christine Blakely's mobile
didn't.
Number. Yeah, he's proven that he had it, and he went like that, and they got a shot of it.
And did people ring him Christine up?
Yeah, she got about 1,000 text messages in
Lord.
5 minutes.
Because I was listening there, and it was about, I've had stalkers.
Oh, really?
I had a fella once.
Well, I'm sorry, that was me.
And was that you?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't, because I gave him a mouthful, and I had a woman. And this was down in the country, and she'd turn up in the fields, you know, like the woman in black. And right. I'd be in the kitchen, quite happy, and I'd look out the window, and she'd be there, and it freaked me out.
Oh.
I don't know what to do with
Becky, it. Becky, how many times have we told you? Just, you know.
But she had a headscarf and a mac and a handbag, and she'd stand, I know, she used to look like she should be at a bus queue, you know what I mean? Not in my field.
Maybe she was just lost.
No, she wasn't.
Leave me alone, Trent, I'm only after the number 36.
No, one of my sheep went for her, and she had the nerve to knock on the door and complain. She said, I said, I had a sheep called Christine, who thought she was a ram, seriously. And she'd lie and wait for, she was smart, this sheep, and she'd charge her. She looked not, and she made her day if she headbutted her. And I saw this woman, I thought, Christine's going to have it. And sure enough, there's Christine thundering up the field. And I thought, she's going to get it this one.
Beware of the sheep.
Some people get Rottweilers, he's got a sheep.
Kill a sheep. I had to kill a cow and all, dot.
Is this a cow that used to just walk into your kitchen?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She went because she got a bit frisky.
Right.
And I was filling the trough with water one day. And she, next thing, she's on me back and I'm on the wall.
You don't want that.
And when I came in and I said to the guy who works for me, he said, you never guess what Dot's just done. He said, well, you've still got it. Chris, I was black and blue, seriously. And I thought, no, she's going to kill a walker or a hiker. She'll have to go. No. So she went to a farmer down the road.
Oh, bless.
Yeah, she's still alive.
We've all had trouble with some of them frisky cows. Have you ever been in Leeds on a Saturday night?
What, Coal Lane? That's very posh now, Coal Lane.
They've done it up.
Nice.
From my days at the Penny.
Yeah, the Penny's still there.
The Penny's still always going. Be there, Chris. The bomb will go off and the penny will be standing.
I'm telling you. Paul O'Grady, so your show's back in April.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're going to go for a night out. Me and Scott and Dave.
Oh, that'd be great.
That. Yeah. Tell you what, we're raising a fortune for Comet Relief that night.
Yeah. Tell us who you were out drinking with recently. This is a brilliant combo of people.
Who was I out with you?
Rita Fairclough.
Oh, we did the show and we had Rita, we had Barbara Knox on, who plays Reese and Corrie and McFly. we were in the green room till... Oh, God. four or five in the morning. It was the best night I've ever had.
That's your fancy evening, isn't it, really?
Was. And to see McFly with Barbara, you know, they all got on so well.
McFly and Rita together.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. It was a great night. What a lovely lady.
Right, well, that's it. Well, we'll go out with you, me, Scott, Dave, Rick Astley, and somebody from Emmerdale.
And I'll bring Barbara up and I'll get her down.
Yeah. She can drive us.
In the minivan.
Perfect. Yeah. Paul, thanks for coming in to see
us. You're welcome, Chris. Thank you. Good luck. Yeah, and well done for doing this.
Paul O'Grady on Radio 1 Live!